Life is sweet. Let it sweep you off your feet.
Hi, you're listening to Find Your Joy. If you're looking for ways to thrive rather than survive in a world that can seem rather chaotic, you're in the right place. We will be sharing stories of our own as well as those from guests who have found ways to bring hope, healing, and freedom into places where trauma has impacted them. I'm Allie, author of The Art of Healing Trauma, and I'm here to remind you that life is sweet. Now, let's dive in and find ways to create our joy. Hi, this is Allie in Find Your Joy, and I am very happy today to welcome, we'll have to talk. Tom Locke is a friend of a friend, first of all, so that's great. That's always fun to get a connection that way. He is, I was looking at your bio, Tom, and you've got a master's in mathematics. You're an author. You've worked in the film industry. Like, it is just, you're a bit of a music buff and enthusiast and expert. And there's a whole lot going on with Tom. Hi, Tom. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Allie. Great to be here.
It's so good to have you. I don't even know where to start. You know what I'm so curious about? Because I'm going to start here. A master's in mathematics.
Yeah.
And you're not a prof.
No.
Like, you just did that because you wanted to.
And it's funny you say that is because I did, because I had the opportunity. And what motivated me at university, I went to York University in Toronto, and mathematics has always been good. Numbers have always been, you know, a fascination to me. And they helped me out a lot on the way. Actually, I used a lot of the mathematical approaches that I was using, and I got into number theory because I'm fascinated by numbers. I was also a card player at the time, so it helped me in my university days, paying for my education.
That's awesome.
It was an interesting time. But what motivated me to go on to do my master's degree was my professors. You know how people, you know, you get excited, you know, when you're with somebody. And I had two phenomenal professors there, one who headed up the whole program, and both these guys were the guys who edited the math journals that came out across North America. They're all from NYU and Brandeis, which is a graduate university, and they ended up in Toronto. And just my luck, I had both of these two gentlemen as my professors, so that they just spurred me on, you know. And but there, it was enjoyment, and they got into the not so much the analytical part of mathematics, but the whole how it's used, how it's in the number, how it related to plants, for example, and things like the Fibonacci number systems, and how you could, you know, associate that with other things in the world. So it was totally fascinating for me and going with those guys.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, I do sound healing stuff, and that's math. I mean, it's interesting. I can remember, oh my goodness, I was a disability case manager for many years. I spent a lot of time doing social service work.
Right.
And I can remember the accountant and I were talking at work one day, and she said, oh, I said, I don't know how you can do this, like just all these numbers. And she said to me, Allie, I can count on numbers. Like, and okay, that's a bit of a twist and phrase there,
but I can
trust them. Numbers are always going to be what they are. They're not going to, I can count on that if I do, you know, 1 + 1 is always going to equal 2. Now there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on about that right now. But basically, math is always going to be math. She said, I don't know how you do what you do, because you put people into the mix. And things get crazy, right? So so it's really served you well, and being into music,
yeah,
it's all about numbers.
Well, it is. I mean, there's a whole thing, you know, the beats and 2/4 beats and stuff like that. As you know, for me, music was actually an escape. It was something that you could go back, you could listen to, you can do and other things while you have music and sound in the background. That's the beauty of it. Whether you're traveling in your car, you're at home taking a break from whatever you're doing, leaning back and listening. So I always found the tunes, and you know, and around the house, my parents, you know, weren't musicians or anything like that, but the radio was always on. They're always humming a tune or something like that. So sort of by osmosis, you know, you pick up this thing. I grew up in, and my parents, I was a child of the 50s, and growing up, I think I, you know, maybe from the womb, I knew all the records by the Platters and groups like that, because my parents would be playing them all the time or humming them. So
yeah, exactly. And we just, you're right. I think that most of us know the tunes from our parents' generation, our generation, and then a little bit, if we're open enough to it, a little bit of our kids, and now even my grandkids, right? We're just, there's this whole landscape that what is it? The soundtrack of our life. It just keeps growing and growing if we let it.
Well, it does. And it's interesting, as you're talking about music here, you're talking about it, and it was the motivation for the book I wrote of music. You got a smile on your face. My whole thing was, that's the beautiful thing about music. When you're listening to it, you're talking about songs you like, I can watch people's eyes, and I just watch their smiles come out all the time. It's incredible. And it's a wonderful stress reliever too, whether you're performing or whether you're just listening.
It's such a healer. It's a beautiful gift. And like you said, there's, I mean, I can right away, I can think of, you know, three songs off the top of my head. And if I just randomly grab them, I can think of a person. If I was a teenager, for sure, a boy I had a crush on. You know,
sure.
There's these little things that are just all of a sudden, bing, 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 and all of a sudden, it comes alive. And yeah, it's. And then I think of things like my mom, and later in her life, sadly, she had vascular dementia. But I'll tell you what, you put on a song that she knew, and she was there. She wasn't in a wheelchair, and she wasn't trapped. She was a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old dancing across the floor with some cute guy.
Yeah, well, we have some commonality there. My father passed away from Alzheimer's, and in his last years, I brought him from Toronto to here, and I was sort of a caregiver for, you know, 4 years, you know, and back and forth to his facility. But one of the days I came over there, and they had a music therapist, you know, coming in and talking about it, and she says, gee, your dad's got a wonderful voice. I'm going, what? I don't remember my dad singing at home too often. I certainly remember my mom. And I said, really? And I said, that's interesting. So I went home and I made a tape of all records that we listened to, you know, in the 50s and that. And I took them to her, gave it to the music therapist, and she played with my dad. My dad sang every word on every song on key. And then there, and it was just, as you say, transformed into an element. And the other beautiful thing about it, lovely smile on his face while he was doing it. He was okay with it. You know, it's wonderful.
I was just thinking, I'm getting teary thinking about my mom, because of course, when a person is losing their memory and things are getting fuzzy, and that's, it can be frightening for them. Sometimes it's a blessing if they're not aware, but there's a way that they can feel lost. But when that music comes in and that connection happens, and you see it, the life, their eyes sparkle again. It's so beautiful. Oh, that's wonderful that you did that for your dad. That's a wonderful gift. That's beautiful.
And music's
stories.
A great connector. It truly is. It's a universal piece, you know, and it really does bring people together. I belong to an international film group around the world, and so there's different languages and all that. English is the sort of the official language of this international group. We're in about 50 countries in the world. We meet each year in a different spot in the world, and that. But it's interesting that I've found over the years three things that could really do connection. Everybody's got to eat, so food and drink has always been number one.
Yes.
Music certainly is there, and you get an appreciation for the different styles and of all, in every country. And third, ironically, I stumbled upon this and I used it a few times in my days in the entertainment industry. It was magic. Magic is a very interesting thing around the world because the communication, yeah, there is the banter, but it's the visual, it's the motion, it's the resultant and making the mind think, you know, what's going on. And that's universal.
I love that. I have this whole thing about magic that I could. I'm wondering. I might take us down a path that I think if I'm not mistaken, you're talking about. I was going to say magic proper, as in magicians, magical
Both.
performance, that kind
Both.
of thing.
Yep.
I think also there's a way that. I don't know. I think humans, I've been talking about this a lot lately. I think humans crave magic a little bit, and that's whether it's spirit, miracle, magic. There's something in us that longs for there to be a beautiful invisible realm that comes into the visible. And I've been noticing that, I had my years working in ministry that I noticed that people long for miracles or something, and I do a lot of energetic things like sound healing and things like that now, and people are looking for that, and I think it's really all the same thing. It's the draw into that, and I love that you said magic because that's just one other little way that we're allowed to do it, and
Right.
no
Well,
one's
I really
concerned.
believe that I call it also a sense of wonderment.
Yes.
And but a sense of wonderment breeds hope.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a beautiful way that let me write that down. That's it's a beautiful way to succinctly what's happening for people when they're attracted to something. It's not a wrong thing. It's a human thing. We want to believe there's more, whatever the more is. We all have ideas of what the more is, but that there's something. Oh, I like that because hope is a beautiful thing. So I'd love to hear about your book, if that's okay. If
Sure.
we go there for a
Well,
little while, if that's okay.
no, it's great. I think it's funny sometimes things that aren't the greatest things set upon us can lead to and other opportunities. I always look at the challenges, you know, they really are disguised opportunities. So in this case, I have to thank COVID for the chance for me to, you know, get something off the corner of my desk and write it down. For the past, I'm going on my 25th year. Every week, I write a little story about music. It's a 2-minute piece that finishes off with the song, and it's aired on Treasure Island Oldies since 2000, which is the longest running internet oldie station. And it comes right out of Vancouver, right here.
Oh my gosh.
A gentleman named Michael Godin, a guy you would probably love to talk to. He used to be with A&M Records. He's the guy that discovered Bryan Adams. We've been good friends for years. And so,
Wow.
Michael, I came up with this idea. I'll go back a little bit.
Great.
Let's go back in that car. So you're driving to school or work. You got the radio station on. What if, Allah? I don't. Do you ever remember Paul Harvey, the rest of the story? Paul Harvey's out of Chicago, and he used to put these pieces out every day. And you're figuring, who's he talking about? What story is he talking about? They break for a commercial, and then he'd tell you the rest of the story, which is the name of his little segment. And
Okay.
he'd finish off with, and that's the story of Abraham Lincoln or something like that. And you go, oh, well, what a great hook. Like they sucked me
That's
in.
interesting. That's great.
Okay, so now, taking that process, you're driving school, driving to work, you got the tune, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden, the guy starts talking. Well, this artist did this, 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 then went on to do this. Who'd know a young boy from such and such would do this? Break, commercial, comes back, tells the rest of the story, and then plays the record. So it's like a 5-minute audio segment on the radio for the drive home or the drive to work.
Yes.
So I created this idea. I was fascinated, you know, by the whole thing with music, and I even took it to Nashville. in the 80s. I had my friends in Nashville, listen to it. It was a group that did all the commercials, TV commercials for radio stations. So their clients were radio people. Now you would see them on there and listen to CKFM, whatever it was, and on it would go. So they did all those. So he went to the guys who worked within his company, who are from radio now over to TV and film, and his clients. And he tested them out. And they said, hey, good stuff, but we don't want, as they called it, sound bites right now. What we want is Casey Kasem's 2-hour show or Dick Barkley's 3 hours rock and roll, like Dick Clark's, at least 2-3 hour shows. That's what they're looking for to slot into their various stations as things like oldies and that became of relevance in the late 80s, early 90s. So now we fast forward, it's 1997. I'm literally sitting at Michael Godin's kitchen table and we're talking about his new show. I says, you know what? I think the internet's going to take off and I'm going to put the first oldies show on this. And he outlined the format. And so, when he supported him, and then I said, hey, Michael, I got an idea. What if I can, get a sponsor for the show and we'll do these segments? He loved the segments. He says, that'd be great. It makes my show unique because I got these segments. So we've been doing them ever since. Now, when these segments first came out, I had a sponsor out of LA. It was a guy named Sorrels Pickard, real life
great
person
name.
With Sorrels Pickard's gourmet peanut butter. All right. And they wanted to sponsor on our show. My friend in the entertainment business had met Sorrels, who a phenomenal artist in itself, wrote 3-4 records that were on Ringo Starr's album Beaucoup de Blues. Yeah,
the
this
peanut
guy
butter
was the
guy.
Real, yeah, the real guy. This guy's the real guy. So we come up with, I make up the Sorrels Pickers peanut butter pick of the week. Of course, Michael hated saying that because that's you're talking live and you're doing an alliteration, on the radio. So unfortunately, Sorrels passed on. We had great experience with him. He was a great guy. He's large in life. In fact, in my book, the epilogue is on Sorrels. So anyway, so it became, he said, but I love it. Just keep it as moments in time. So it's been moments in time, pretty much forever and a day. So Michael's listeners kept on, he says, Tom, these are great. You should put these in a book, you should be in a book. And I said, yeah, it makes sense. And this started about 10 years ago. Now, timing is a wonderful thing because one of the challenges you have for the story or the idea, the way I designed it, is you want complete and instant gratification. In other words, you hear the story, you get the ending, but you want to hear that song. You're motivated to listen to that song. So how could I put new technology in with the book and not going around trying to find rights for this, rights for the song, doing this, which would, be ad nauseum. And I didn't want to keep walking around going to various, publishers because they'd probably still be talking about it today. So I self-published the book myself. So I went out there. So, and this is the book, and I'll tell you how I made the innovation. There is, I'm going to make a statement here, and this is
okay.
Pretty cool, but here it is. That this book, there is no book in music in North America, actually in the world, like it. Well, that's quite a bold statement. It is because how it is written. Every song, you can open the book anywhere. Any song, any story, all out the rest of the story, is written on two pages.
Oh.
And it's written, getting back to magic or mystery, the first page sets you up for the kill. The first page sets you up. You turn the page over, you get the rest of the story. But at the bottom of the corner, here's the innovative part, bottom of the corner, there's a QR code. You put your smart camera over it, click it, and it goes and it'll direct you to hear the song.
That's brilliant. Oh my gosh, I love that. That was, You smarty pants. That is.
And that, well, that gets back to my days, in post-production in the entertainment industry, because we were always on the leading edge of technology, had to be, because the viewer sophistication just got bigger and bigger. Same with
Yes.
listeners. I mean, record players and people going back to the real thing now, as I call it, but they're walking around, they got Spotify, it's in their ears, and you're hearing
Yes.
that because it's not just talking about the song, you want to hear it. So here's the opportunity where you can, and you can do it right off a Kindle screen as well. So
Oh,
either.
that's, oh my goodness. So then I have a question. So if you have it in, and the question is going to be kind of twofold. So first of all,
Sure.
does it exist? And the second of all, how is that for royalties and blah, blah, blah. So if you have it in audio form, if is your book in audio form yet?
Nope. It's just in print and on Kindle. So
Okay. Because my question was going to be then, if it is in audio form, then what would be required to have it play right away? Because I'm guessing there is a difference in terms of royalties and things like that. To have a QR
Yes.
code that someone can just grab on their own, you're not responsible for that. You're
No,
just
I'm
telling
not.
them
And
about it.
it doesn't, and it and just directs you to where you can find it. All
Yes,
right.
that's
So,
rare. That's smart.
and
That's.
everybody is smart. And that's, and because that to me was the trigger in the book, because some of the stories I write in are about forgotten, what I call forgotten favorites in some cases, where people, geez, I haven't heard that song in umpteen years. I didn't know the
Oh.
background of that song. So you want to hear it, you know?
Yes, you want to hear it. So what I'm guessing is there's some the first page is information or a story about the artist that not everybody knows.
Or it's something you can relate to. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
An example is, I might start off with a story. Hey, remember the plethora of weddings you went to during the 70s and early 80s? And then after the presentations, after the ceremony and the speeches and that, the key focus on that evening was the DJ. And I bet money, at least in the first three songs, you'd hear this song. And then you play Money Money, you see? So,
Oh my
and
gosh.
then I tell the story about how Tommy James got the name Money Money. A lot of people don't know that story, so it's in the book. My referencing, I have, gosh, 50,
Yes.
60 books.
I can't wait to buy your book. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, you. I think you'll enjoy it, especially if you're back. And the other thing is, we incorporate things. What we've learned from, the society today, as we've got older, is, being succinct. And you can capture my time for, 5 minutes, getting
Yes.
the instant gratification in there and tell me something I don't know. So those are the three motivating factors for me
Tell
for
me
the book.
something I don't know. My whole life is full of I love tell me something I don't know. I mean, I remember this about the same and not. It's just where my mind has gone to and all this. I liked Black Sabbath. Right. I was a teenager in the 70s and Black Sabbath was a thing, but I didn't follow Ozzy. That wasn't, I wasn't, I didn't dislike, it wasn't about that. It was, I'm a kind of more into blues and I really like, I like world music now mostly, but anyways, that's another story, but I didn't really follow along Ozzy, but my husband was an Ozzy fan, die hard
Oh,
still,
wow.
just everything Ozzy. He's just loves Ozzy. And so when Ozzy came out with that show with him and his son Jack, they traveled around in they traveled the world, but they did a whole thing where they traveled with their Winnebago, I think it was, or whatever it was. We watched it and I fell in love with Ozzy. I thought, what a lovely human being. But the part that I think I loved most about Ozzy was that he, well, and Jack did it, of course. He would go and see people perform his music in a completely different way. So it might be someone on a choir or a mariachi band or somebody doing his music in a different way, and how much that touched his heart. So it was It was There We Are. And so we're hearing this. There's this backstory about Ozzy, and he's talking about however that song came. So that's a little bit touches on maybe how your book is. And but then to see the enormous blessing that he received, and he would, and he, I love, you know, people who have, here's the thing about people who, about people in general. Sometimes when we're insecure, we can be less than gracious. It's a human trait. You know, if we're insecure about something,